Hey, good morning, everyone. I apologize about no shir last week. It was a shir Shabbaton, but we should be certainly straight till Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving weekend is always a question, but we should still be straight to Thanksgiving weekend with the shir going forward. The Ezras Hashem. A lot of very, very fascinating ideas by the Malbim this week. Let's begin with the very beginning. Of course, at the very beginning of the parasha, Hashem appears to Avram Avinu. And one of the salient questions that the Mefarshim are bothered by is, nowhere does it really say what Hashem says to Avram. Does he talk to Avram? There's really, the Torah doesn't say anything about that. I mean, if you look at the end of last week's parasha just speaks about Avram getting a bris milah. Okay. Very heroic act by Avram Avinu, the old man willing to have this kind of surgery of having a bris milah, certainly very admirable. And then it just says, "Vayera yelav Hashem be'elanim amrei." God appears to him. Hu yoshe pesach kol yom. It doesn't say God appears to him. But what it doesn't say in the Chumash? What does he say? He doesn't say anything. Very strange. That's everybody asks. And then the next pasuk, you have the story about the angels. Or it doesn't say angels, just three people that show up. So let's take a look at those two psukim. He lifts up his eyes and he sees three men, nitzavim alav, standing over him. It's almost like he didn't see them coming. You read the pasuk carefully, it's almost like he didn't see them, and then all of a sudden, they were just standing there. Vayar, he sees them, he bows down. He bows down. Right? If you saw three people, is that the first thing you would do? You would bow down to them? Very strange. Why is he bowing down? Vayomar, and he starts with, and he has this word, right? Chazal have a question about whether that word Adonai would mean my master's or Hashem's name, right? So there's a question over there also, right? Rashi also quotes, I think, here. Two explanations. Is it Lashon Chol or Lashon Kodesh? Take a look for 1 second on page 42 in Rashi, on Pasuk Gimel. The first pshat in Rashi is L'gadol Shebahem Amar. It doesn't mean that he addressed the Rabbanu Shlomo, it means that he addressed the greatest of the men, or the oldest, or the most respected of the three men, apparently. But if you look three lines down, Davar Acher, Kodeshu. Famous dictum of Chazal, unbelievable statement of Chazal. Gadol Hachnasas Orchim Yoser Mikabolas Pnei Shechina. Right? That the mitzvah Hachnasas Orchim even is greater and pushes away the mitzvah of standing and talking to God himself. Hashem had come here to visit Avram Avinu, and he says, hold on, Hashem, I got to go deal with the guests. So Chazal learned from this, right? So that's if you learn that word Aleph, Dal, Nun, Yud is a reference to Hashem and not to the people. As there, you can learn Pasuk Gimel as not that he's talking to the men, but that he's talking to the Rabbanu Shlomo and saying, Hashem, please wait here, I got to go take care of these guests, which itself is just a mind-blowing thing. But listen to the Malbim's fascinating take on this, like, dichotomy. The Malbim sort of takes these two ideas and fuses them incredibly into one. Maybe I'll ask you to help me with this, but I'm just going to tell you the way I understood it. If you have a different understanding, please feel free to share it. Let's see what he says. Vayomar Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. Shame Zach Kodesh. So he's going with the second shot, that he's talking to the Rabbanu Shalom. But listen to his take on this. Like the he quotes a Rambam, Perek Vav, and the Sodi HaTorah. Sh'omar Kein El Hashchina. The Chain also in the end of the last pasuk, Mashkaz of Vayishtachu Arza, Haya El Hashchina. Now that's not the simple shot in the pasuk. It sounds like Vayishtachu Arza means he bowed down to the men. But the Malbim understands, no, he didn't bow down to them, bow down to the Shechina. Ki heim achar shenizgalmu b'dmus anoshim. Since the Malbim is working with the assumption that these are angels in the form of men, he elaborately explains this in the last couple of pieces, which I don't have here, but Kiachesh in this gamu b'dmus hanashim nohagimam ki ilu heim hanashim ovrei orach. That since they appeared to him in the form of men, so he dealt with them as if they were regular men. Ukisheratz lekrasam lo sar meros Hashem eola. When he ran to greet them, so he didn't stop his interaction with Hashem. Ubikesh shelo yavar mimenu ad yikai mitzachnas zarchim. And Avram had requested that the men slash angels not leave him as he dealt with he asked Hashem not to leave him while he was dealing with the men slash angels, so that he could go be Mekai in the midst of Achnas Zarchim. He treated them like individuals. Kamash Kasu Chazal, Shekadol Achnas Zarchim Mechabos Pedei Shechina. Oh, now listen to his take on this. V'hoya Miderech HaShleimim HaDveikim El Hashem Shegam B'dabram El Anoshim V'El Malchi Ha'aretz Hoya Iker Diburam El Hashem V'dibru Dibur Ka'al Shtepanim. The way I understand what he's saying over here is he's saying the two Pshatim and Rashi are not a contradiction. They're actually all one and the same. As he's talking to these men, he's really talking to Hashem. As he's dealing with these men, he's really dealing with Hashem. Look, he explains further. Kamo shekasev pasuk in Nehemiah, va'espalel Elokei Hashemayim va'omer la'melech. I daven to Hashem, and how did I daven to Hashem? By speaking to the king. Shehadibur shedibur la'melech haya ikar kavanaso tefila la'Hashem. Shema shekasev ima la'melech tov, Haya kavanasa tefila lemelech ha'elyon elokei hashemayim shehu yishalcheo el Yehuda v'hamelech chashav she'elav u'medaber. Even though the flesh and blood king thought he was talking to him, in Nehemiah, whoever was speaking there, I didn't look up the pasuk, but whoever was speaking there was thinking that he was talking to the king. The king thought he was talking to him, but really his kavanah was to talk to Hashem. V'chein Avram mishtachave v'diber zos el ha'archim. Similarly, Avram bowed to the guests and spoke to the guests, but his real kavanah with the bowing and speaking was not to the guests, was to the master of the universe, was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kavanaso haya bein mishtachavaya bein b'diburo el Hashem anira elav v'alkein amar shem kodesh ki haya kavanaso el Hashem. What's going on here exactly? So I think what's going on here is that Avram was talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit him, and then he sends these angels slash men. So Avram relates to them as if they're men, but his kavanah in dealing with them is as if his kavanah is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, again, you could say it in many ways, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who sent these angels slash men to him. So he related with them as men, but he was really thinking all the time as he was relating with them that he was actually interacting with the master of the universe. He was actually interacting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I was thinking that, he says, Miderech HaShleimim HaDveikim El Hashem, that people who live their entire lives, Daveik El Hashem, all the moves that they make on this earth, there's a little piece of them that's always thinking about the Ribbono Shel, even as they act on this earth. And this is something that we're supposed to strive for, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to be in our subconscious at all times. Just what comes to mind is the famous words of Tosas and Maseches Brachos about why you only make one Birchas HaTorah all day long, right? Even if, let's say, you learned in the morning, I hope everybody made Birchas HaTorah before this year. You got to make Birchas HaTorah before you learn. But then you're going to go off and go to work, or you're going to go eat breakfast. And then maybe if you may pick up a sefer in the afternoon, you don't make another Birchas HaTorah. So Tosas famously states Maseches Brachos that somehow a person's latent awareness is supposed to be on Torah all day long. It's not like a sukkah that every time you go into the sukkah, you make a new leishiv. Tosas asks, why you make? But by learning, you don't. Because you have this latent, a person is supposed to be lifnei Hashem at all times. He's supposed to be connected to Torah, at least in the subconscious, at all times. Someone once gave a beautiful mashal to this, which I really think struck home. So a mom, takes her little 4-year-old in the park, and the mom, you know, takes out the magazine and might be reading it as the 4-year-old is like playing in front of her. So the mom might not actually be looking at the 4-year-old all the time when she's in the park. She may be reading the magazine or something. Maybe it's a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, maybe a 4-year-old, whatever it is. But in other words, her latent consciousness, her subconsciousness, her, not her acute consciousness, but her subconsciousness is always on the. So I would say similarly, a person, you know, that's why we wear a yarmulke on the head. The yarmulke on the head is supposed to remind us all day long. We're supposed to be thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though we're going to be doing a lot of other things. But our mind. So for Avraham Avinu, this sense of speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything he spoke was always on Hashem. Again, I don't think he just means that, oh, these angels were representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think he means more than that, because he quotes examples of Pasuk in Nehemiah where people were talking to flesh and blood kings, but every act that he did, the more of a shalem you are, the more of a Yirei Shamayim you are, every act that you take in this world, you feel like you're mamish interacting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wow. That's pretty serious. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Sam. Exactly. So I think that's the way he understands this thing. Again, over Shabbos, look it over. I may have said a wrong chat. You can call me afterwards, but that's what I think he's driving at. Let's continue. Yukachnama Atmayim. Oh, Achar Shira Osam Bidmus Anashim. Since these angels / men appear to him as men. So Avram treated them like men. So he said, you know, let's give them some water to drink. I mean, there's a piece that I'm skipping. Well, it's Va'asher midas Avram haya midas ha-chesed l'hachnis orchim u'l'hachilam u'l'lamdam gamkin l'varech es shem Hashem. Right? Well, I said last week at Shal Shudas time on the Shabbaton, Avram Avinu was the first DRS Rebbe. Right, you got to bring him to the house, give him chalent, and hopefully, if you give him some chalent, they'll be mevareches Hashem. That look what it says here. Midas Avraham Avinu zechesed lahachnis orchem ulahachilam. He would be machnis orach and give them a good piece of fish, or chalent, or meat. Ulalamdim gamkein levareches Shem Hashem. Somehow, those two things go together: giving him food and blessing Hashem. Last Shal Shudas, I spoke about Rebbetzin Machlis, Allah Shalom. The Tzaddikas of Yerushalayim used to have 100 people at every meal Friday night, Shabbos day. Talked about it with the boys, about how the food was mamish makarif people. I said it in a little bit of a different context last week, but let's see what he says. Let's see the Malbim's take. He has a little bit different take on what I talked about last week. Lehetivim kol b'nei adam b'gashmius uveruchnius. That's Avram's natural instinct. Was simply to be an overflowing source of hashpa'ah to everybody around him in gashmius and in ruchnius. In other words, he did both. He just was a natural giver. He was a natural mashpia. When he saw people, he just wanted to be mativ to them, to be mashpia to them, to give them food, to give them gashmius, and to share his experiences with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to share his religious experience with them. He says, "Lehetivim kol b'nei adam begashmis v'zehaya kol migamaso." This was his entire purpose in life, his entire raison d'etre, his entire goal in life was simply to provide for other people. Lo yochol le'esapek milavakeish shesa'orchem ha'ele shayadatim laver l'darkem shayenuchu etzlo k'tzas. He simply couldn't help himself. Upon seeing wayfarers, he couldn't help himself to encourage them to stop by his house, to take a little drink, to take something a little bit to eat, and to rest by his house. Uvazed Nivdal says the Malbim, in this respect, Avram was different than most people who give tzedakah. Uvazed Nivdal mimi she'itin tzedakah la'aniyim mitzad midas harachamim. Most people, you see somebody poor, you're going to give them stuff. And certainly, only to a poor person who comes to your door, that's who you're going to give to. You're not going to give to, most people are not going to give to somebody who is not in need and doesn't ask you for it. V'kolshken ha-bilti rotza l'sakiv. Certainly somebody doesn't even want to stop by your door. He doesn't even want to stop by. V'kolshken shlo yishtachave v'yichani lo sheyavu al-beiso. Certainly you're not going to be the guy like, you know, stam people walking by Yazel. Please come by. Please come over. Why don't you come in? Shezeh more rav tuvo v'chazdo shayezeh beinov kilo ha-over orech mahaneu umeitiv imo b'mashiyocha mipito. Wow. In Avram's eyes, it wasn't him doing the guest the favor, it was the guest doing him the favor that he gave him hanah. You're doing me the favor by eating my chalent. And the way he would convince people to stop by, he says, I don't need you to stay for a long time. That's the way he would convince people to come, because who wants to hang out with who is this stranger who's invited me to ask? How would he get people to come? So he would say, just a little bit. Rachatzu raglechem v'yishan l'tachas eitz. Just take a break. Rachatzu raglechem v'yanuchu ma'a tachas eitz. Shezeh yasu gam baderech. Kishimsu mayan mayan v'chorish mitzel. So this was the level of Avram's chesed. He's a real Baal chesed that it bothered him when somebody wouldn't come and stop by his house. It bothered him. He felt that the wayfarers were doing him the favor. Unbelievable level of chesed. He was a natural Baal chesed. What comes to mind, I like to tell the story all the time. The famous story of the Hasidic Rebbe, who there was a poor man once came by his house, knocked at his door, and he appears at the Rebbe's door with his bedraggled clothing and ripped and tattered and dirty, and he says, "Can you please?" And the Rebbe gives him tzedakah. Then the poor man turns to leave, and he walks a block away, and then the Rebbe runs after him and gives him like 10 times more money. He said, "Rebbe, what's up?" He says, "When you were at my door, I felt badly for you. So I gave you tzedakah, I felt badly for you. But then I realized it's a mitzvah to give tzedakah. Kodesh Baruch, you have to imitate Hashem to give tzedakah. So I ran down and I gave you, not just because I felt badly for you, because I wanted to do it for the mitzvah." Which contradicts another Hasidic story, which they say about the Blush of a Rebbe, that one of the Talmidim once got sick. So one of the Talmidim called him up and said, "Rebbe, I'd like to come visit you to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim." So the Rebbe said, "Do me a favor, don't come. I don't need to be your lulav that you'll shake me and get a mitzvah out of me." So it's a contradiction to chesed shemaisa. That's why you're supposed to do chesed, because it's a mitzvah or because out of... So anyway, be that as it may, have answers to that stira, not for now. But lemaisa, Avram Avinu was so inspired and he had, let's put it this way, he had worked on his nature so much that he was so naturally giving to other people. He wanted to share his ruchnius, he wanted to share his discovery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the world, but it wasn't just a spiritual thing. He literally just enjoyed making people happy. He wanted to give to people, whether they needed it or didn't need it. Very important lessons for us about chesed, about becoming a Baal chesed, not just seeing people in need, but becoming someone who's naturally someone who is giving. Let's continue. Vayochelu. So the people ate. Right? Pasuk says, Pasuk Ches, Vaykachem avachalo b'ben abakar asher asa. Just as an aside, the Malbim says, that how could Avram, this is really an aside, I don't want to go there, but the Malbim says, how could Avram Avinu have fed his guest basar b'chalav? He says, there's one opinion in Chazal that Avram created the meat in a supernatural way. Vayimaher la'asos l'so. He has there's an opinion in Chazal that it wasn't real meat. The angels weren't, the people weren't real people, so the meat wasn't real meat. It was a nace. Right, exactly. So he says such meat doesn't have the status of basar b'chalav. Anyway, that's your own. That's for homework. I didn't put it. I didn't even include it on the sheet. There was so much. But anyway, so he says vayochelu inyan achila yitzdak chol davashu miskayim al yado. ha'esh tochal sa'etzim shayde achil sa'etzim tiskay ma'esh. Lechem ha'nefesh hu ma'achalahu kol motzei pi Hashem. What's the bread of the soul? That's the study of Torah. Kamo luchu lachmu belachmi. Va'akorbanos nikru lechem Hashem she'al yodam niskayim hashras hashchina lamata. V'hamon haruchni nikru lechem she'malachai hashareis ochlon oso. V'amalachim ha'ela bo al avram bizchus mitzvus gemilas chasadim. She'achaz ba kol yama. Wow. Listen to the Malbim's take on this. Fascinating. I never heard of this pshat. This is in the middle of a very long piece of discussion, but he basically says, "Vayochelu," these men/angels, they ate. What does it mean they ate? So he says, eating means whatever sustains you. What sustained these angels? Why did these angels come to visit Avram? In what schus did the angels come to visit Avram? So he learns, listen to this, just I should have underlined that one line. Vahamal on the fourth line, second line from the bottom. Vahamalachim ha'elu, ha'ele, bo al Avram bischus mitzvos gemilas chasadim she'achaz ba kol yamav. In the merit of the gemilas chasadim that Avram Avinu did his entire life, that's why he merited having these angels visit him. In other words, so what sustained these angels? Avram's chesed. Avram's chesed was the reason for the sustaining of these angels. Then look, he takes it further. Look how he takes it further. Umikol mitzvah nivra malach. Rabosai, every mitzvah that a person does creates a spiritual merit for a person, which the Malbim is calling a malach. Shehu shliach ha-hashgacha ligmo lo tov kigmol yadav. Every single mitzvah that a person does create some merit for him, some spiritual merit, which is going to cause some benefit for a person. Umalachim eile hayu malachi chesed. These malachim that came to visit Avram were angels of chesed. Shenishluchu, shenivru al yidei zechus umitzvos kemilas chasadim v'achnasas orchim shel Avram Avinu. Uvemitzvazu nisrapa sara laholid v'nigla Hashem el Avram. In this mitzvah, nisrapa sara laholid v'nigla Hashem el Avram. Listen to this. So with these mitzvahs of chesed, Sarah was healed. Because of Avram's chesed, right, because what did Chazal... So, because what did Chazal say? Why were the three angels? One of them, Lerapo says, Sarah. One of them to destroy stone. One of them to tell him about the child. Right? So he says, in the merit of Avram's chesed, Sarah, who was somebody who physically was not able to have children, ended up being able to have children in the merit of Avram's chesed. So this is the Malbim. So that's what it means, that this angel came in the merit of Avram's chesed. So one of them came... One of them came... Right. Right. Again, what Chazal say, one of them was Lerapos as Avram, and one of them was to tell Sarah about the child, and one of them was to destroy stone. But he's saying that the angel that came... Shabsi. He's saying the angel that came to tell Sarah about the birth also came to make Sarah physically able to give birth, because the Malbim talks about that a lot in the other pieces. Uvemitzvazu nisrapa Sarah laholid. So it's the narrative of Avram's chesed that Sarah was able to have children. V'nigla Hashem el Avram, v'nitzol lot, ustom. So all these things that happened was in the merit of his achnasas archim. V'nitzol lot, ustom. And then he takes it further. Ustom she'asu maisim roim hepech midas hachesed hoya malach midas hachesed shliach l'shaches osam. Since the angel was created as a result of the chesed of Avram, so this was an angel of chesed. This was an angel who was created of chesed. So dafka, this angel of chesed was made to destroy stone. Kostom was the opposite of chesed. So the angel that was created via chesed was the appropriate angel to destroy stone. Because this angel was created because of chesed. So this angel had no patience for a lack of chesed. So therefore this angel was the angel that destroyed stone. Ah, fascinating. So listen to what he says. V'im kein, ha-machal shenasan Avram Avinu la-ha-archim. The food that Avram gave these guests, vayochelu. What do you mean angels ate? It means not that the angels ate. He means vayochelu, this was the sustenance of those angels. The very food that Avram gave them, that's his chesed, so that was the whole sustenance of these angels of chesed, which caused Sarah to give birth, caused Avram to be healed, caused stone to be destroyed. But what's at the root of what the Malbim is saying over here? All of Avram Avinu's acts of chesed are what caused all of this goodness to happen. Sarah giving birth, stone being destroyed. That was chiyusam v'kiyumam shel ha-malach ha-meila. V'zeh hoya lehem machal v'lechem abirim. Lechem abirim, that's a reference to the man. L'hachayosam ulekaimam. And I think the lesson for us is how powerful is our acts of chesed. And the Malbim says every act of chesed, every mitzvah creates angels. And every mitzvah that a person does creates angels that are going to go do good things in the world. So we don't realize we're paying it forward. And the Torah here, according to the Malbim, is trying to teach us by the angels coming to Avraham Avinu, the Torah is coming to teach us about what midas ha-chesed, what acts of chesed accomplished. They accomplished great things in the world, more than what we can see. We don't see the angels. We don't see the results of our good actions and what they accomplish in the world. And further along the same theme, the Malbim continues with two or three final pieces here. Let's take a look. Ki yidativ. So now we're skipping a little bit in the parasha. I wanted to say a little bit from the rest. Go through a lot here. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wondering, should I tell Avram Avinu about stone? Very, very strange psukim in the Torah where Hashem takes his hand and puts it to his beard and says, let's see, should I tell Avram about stone or not? Very, very strange psukim. You know, as if there's a suffix for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beautiful idea of the Chasam Sofer, we've said in previous years about that, one of my favorite ideas about Chinuch. Anyway, but the Malbim has a little bit of a different take on it. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately decide to tell Avram about Sodom? So look in the Chumash. Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Tes, on page 44. Very, very strange group of psukim. Again, I'm not going to answer all the kashas. Turn back to 43 for a second, right? That one of the most strangest psukim in all the parashas, Yud Ches Yud Zayin. V'Hashem Amar. And Hashem spoke and said, Hamechaseani me'Avram Asher ani oseh. Let's see. Should I cover over from Avram this that I'm doing to stone? Should I tell him about it, or should I cover it up? Should I just do it without telling him? Like Hashem's asking himself a question. The whole thing is so bizarre. I mean, he's the master of the universe. He knows everything. Let him either do it or not do it. It's a very strange, very, very strange pasuk. Hamechasani, could I possibly cover over from Avram this? And then the Torah seems to go off onto a non sequitur. V'Avram, hayo yeh l'goy gadol v'atzum. Avram is going to be a great nation. V'nivru chubol kol goy ha'aretz. Ki yedativ, I know Avram. So in Pasuk Chaf, he finally decides to say it. It was almost like Yud Zayin, he asks the question, should I tell him or not? Yud Ches Yud Tes, he sort of debates it and says, yeah, he's a pretty good guy, so I may as well tell him. And then in Pasuk Chaf, he decides to tell Avram. Very, very strange group of psukim. Let's take the Malbim's take. Look at his take. Ki yidativ. Since I know him, Ubo Davka Yediyasi Vahashkachasi HaPratiyis. And it is through Avram Avinu, that my Hashkacha Pratis on this world happens. It's via my relationship with Avram that my Hashkacha Pratis into this world occurs. Ayidekein Nasehu Hatsinor Shayide Ayado Tavo HaBracha L'chol Goyei Haaretz. It's via Avram Avinu that Avram Avinu is the pipeline through which my largesse comes down to the world, to all the nations of the world, through Avram Avinu. Shelule Avram, Sar Oz Hashkachas Hashem in Olam V'Nimser Hanakasim El Hamarechas Ateva. If not for Avram Avinu, the world would be just through nature, would be conducted through nature. Now that I have Avram Avinu, a tzaddik, so now I'm going to get involved in giving the world Hashkacha Pratis. V'ayde Avram Shadavka Ba Hashkachas Hashem Ischila Ha'anhaga Ha'ashkachis Al Klal Ha'olam K'mosh Kasul Chazal B'chidasam in their not a rhyme. Chidasam is like a riddle. Like Chazal said in their interesting statement, their riddle, Shekodem Avram Avinu Sila Kakadosh Baruch Hu Shechinasam Mikol Harikim. Before Avram was on the world, so God's presence was up above the seven heavens. Va'Avram haya hamaschilo horid es hashchina la'aretz. Avram was the first to bring the Shechina down to this earth. Va'ayidei zed nistabiv gamkin mishpat sdom. Va'ansham shahaya hashkechiyi. Says the Malbim, it's because of Avram Avinu bringing the Shechina all the way down to the world, as the Malbim is going to further elaborate in a few lines. That's why Sdom got destroyed, because that's the beginning of God's Hashkacha Pratis, God's getting involved and not just letting the world conduct by nature, but actually getting down into the world that there should be Hashkacha Pratis. V'imken yichuyab she'odia oso mi'mishpat Sdom. Therefore, since Avram Avinu is the reason for all of the Hashkacha Pratis in the world, it makes sense for me to tell him about the fact that I'm about to now conduct the world via Hashkacha Pratis and destroy Sdom. If Avram Avinu is the source of all blessing in the world, and I'm now about to bring evil, wicked people curse in the world, it makes sense that Avram Avinu should know about it. That's A. B, V'gam, k'dei shi'espal alayhim, v'yivakesh alayhim schus, ki al yodo yivorchu goyei ha'aratzos. If it's through the tzaddik Avram Avinu that blessing comes to all the nations of the world, maybe let me tell him about it so he could pray on their behalf, and maybe they also would be meriting of some type of blessing, and they wouldn't get completely destroyed. Zos Shenis Lamana Sheyitzaves Banaves Beso Achor Veshamu Derech Hashem Lasos Stako Mishpat Achar Sheyia Lagoy Gadol Va'atzum. Avram Avinu was the one who taught the whole world about ethical monotheism. Avram Avinu was teaching them about a God who believed in Schar V'Onesh, a God who conducted the world through, if you do good, Hashem is going to do good for you. If you do bad, it's going to be bad. So I better tell him about Sdom, because this fits right in with Avram's world view. It'll help him teach the world about the fact that, hey, if you're not nice, if you're bad, bad stuff happens. That was part of Avram's whole message. That's what he means. Ki yidativ l'mana sheyitzaves banav esbeis ha'achor v'shamu derech Hashem la'asos stako mishpat. So it's important for me to tell him about the stako mishpat. Acha she'il ha'gagod ha'vatsum. God conducts the world according to people's actions. So it's mishpat that the cities that dispensed with any kind of justice would be destroyed. So it was a righteous judgment. People are going to say, oh, what's the master of the universe doing over here? He's not a fair, he's not a just God. So Hashem's going to tell Avram about it, that it absolutely was justice. Chol zeh yodia levanav leman yilamdu leleches b'darkei Hashem v'mishpat utzdaka. And the third reason, leman havi Hashem ki ba'asher stom v'ariyah ki hem min ha'aretz, the third reason he just says that this is part of the land that Hashem promised Avram Avinu. Leman havi Hashem ki ba'asher stom v'ariyah ki kerhem min ha'aretz shenishpa Hashem la'avram lo seiz lazaro u'kche yashches es stom lo yuchal lo havi al avram eis asher diber olav. If Avram Avinu agrees that they should be destroyed, if Avram doesn't agree and he finds a merit for them to push away the decree, so then I'll be able to give Avram Avinu this land that should be for his kids. So that's why he says he's Legoy Gadol. Oh, so the Malbim has three reasons why Hashem told Avram. Number one, he's the whole source for goodness on the world. So this and the Hashkacha Pratis. So if I'm going to do my Hashkacha now, I got to tell him. And also said he should daven for them. Maybe he'll find a Zchust that I can bring to them. Two, that it's justice. And Avram was taught people justice. So I got to tell him about the justice. And three, this land was Avram's land. So if it's going to be destroyed, he deserves to know about it. First of all, maybe he can defend it to save it because it's his. And three, if he agrees that it should be destroyed, so you know he won't complain. And he'll realize that there's a reason why I'm not giving him everything. And he says all of that is all of that is hinted at in these psukim of Yudzayin Yeches about why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to tell Avram. A lot of lessons here about, first of all, that the tzaddik is the vehicle through which Hashem brings blessing down to the world. Fascinating concept. And the whole Hashkacha Pratis started with Avram Avinu, of course, lessons of Hashem's justice, but also about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avram about this, that he's not going to just bring destruction on the world without first allowing Avram the opportunity to defend them and to daven for them. The Koach HaTfila and Avram Avinu is wanting to get involved in saving even these strangers. I was, you know, the one idea I thought, there's certain communities, right? I like to talk all the time about the Lower East Side people who grew up in the Lower East Side. Right? I believe they all had the tremendous influence of Rav Moshe Feinstein in the neighborhood. So people who grew up in the Lower East Side were blessed to just, there was a different kind of person who grew up there. You know, just the tzaddik is mashpia on the whole world, and certainly having a tzaddik in a neighborhood is mashpia on the whole neighborhood. And finally, we only have 2 minutes left. Actually, I have two pieces left. One you may have to do for homework. Er dana ve'ere. Right? Hashem says, let me go down and check out what's going on in stone. B'chol zeh adayin lo nechtam gzardina ma'at she'eshach malachi liros es ma'aseim shem b'makom resha. His piece over here, he says, is that Hashem judges different than people judge. We judge by people's actions. You just judge because we don't know people's thoughts. When Hashem judges, beautiful piece over here, he says, Hashem didn't just judge what Stone did. He judged the whole context of the sin. Why did they do what they do? Did they need to be doing what they did? Some people are going to be nasty to poor people because they don't have a lot. They can't give. He says, no. He came down Stone. They had plenty. There was no problems. They could have given money. They could have helped people. And they didn't do it. So Hashem judges people differently than humans do. He judges the whole context of the sin. Right? That also plays a role. We have to look at when we want to try to improve ourselves, we don't want to just look at the actions that we're doing, but what causes us to bring the actions? What mindset causes a person to sin? What brings a person to sin? HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks inside people's heads and sees what's their whole background, what's their whole upbringing, what caused them to do the sin. It's not just the sin itself. So I'll ask you to do that for homework. And finally, the last piece about the Akedah. About the Akedah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Malbim says that the test of the Akedah, which I guess is the Pasha Pshat, right? About which is something to think about. I'll just leave you off to think. I'm going to leave you hanging with this one, Barry. You're not going to be happy with me. I'm going to leave you hanging. The test of the Akedah is which love is stronger for a person: the love for his family or the love for Hashem. Which love is stronger? Right, that's the way the Malbim understands what the Nisayon of the Akedah was. The Nisayon of the Akedah was Avram's love for his child, the love that a parent has for a child. We can't even describe, you can't put into words the level of the intensity, the level of the care, the level of the love. The Malbim says the test was, you know, was his love for Hashem greater than his love for his child? That was the test. That's why the Torah says, "Kachna es bincha, es yechidcha, asher ahavta, es Yitzchak." He didn't want him to lose the love. I want you to be thinking during this whole time about how much you love your son. But the question is your love for me even greater? Is your love for me even greater? Once a big Talmud Chacham came to this neighborhood many years ago and started talking about this. He gave a drush on Shabbos in one of the shuls here, and people were very upset with him afterwards. He was talking about things about how you have to love Hashem more than you love your children. He was saying that, if your children are doing things that are against the Ribbono Shel'Olam, you can't necessarily compromise your love for the Ribbono Shel'Olam for your children. He gave a speech like that. People were not happy with it, but that's the Nisayon of the Akedah according to the Malbim, that a person's love, a person's supposed to love his children, love them, obviously he's supposed to love and love your children more than anything else, except for more than the Ribbono Shel Olam. And sometimes can be tricky when people's children cause them to try to make compromises and challenges, and it's hard to know what compromises one should make for their children who are going against the Ribbono Shel Olam. Very, very difficult thing. Not something for me to go into in depth over here. Very, very complicated. But at its root, says the Malbim, that was the challenge of the Akedas Yitzchak, and that's what, you know, I don't think any of us are called to sacrifice our children, but sometimes we are called upon to test our love for Hashem and our love for Gid. Not simple how to make the answers. Hopefully Hashem should give us the siyata d'shmaya to have that love for the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we'll know how to include the love for our kids together with the love for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And hopefully our kids will see our love for the Ribbono Shel Olam and they'll be included in that. Anyway, a lot of fascinating things to think about. The Iker point is Avram Avinu is the Midas HaChesed, the giver, the Mashpia, was Mashpia to the whole world. Mashpia to his children, Mashpia to even the non-Jews. Hopefully we should learn to be these emissaries of the Ribbono Shel Olam who are going to also be vehicles through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashpah, and we should have that latent awareness of Hashem all the time in our lives, and we should always feel the Ribbono Shel Olam's closeness and presence in all that we do in our lives. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Somebody wants to say, Kaddish, Rabbi Chananya, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zachos, Yisrael, Lefikach,